Well, today I'm so thankful to come and share God's word with you. I know the Lord is doing such a great work here at New Hope, and we get to be a part of something really special of what the Lord is doing. You know, many of us here, I was just talking to my wife in the front row, you know, I believe that there's times where the enemy really comes in like a flood, and he really tries to bring discouragement, and he comes in like a flood. And I believe that today the Lord wants to pour out his love and his mercy and his peace and his joy in your life like a flood. And so that he would overwhelm you with his presence today. Today we're going to continue to talk with this whole series, 10X, or 10 times. And how God wants to increase your life 10 times. And we've been talking about courage. Today we're going to talk about relationships. That God wants to improve and increase your relationships 10 times. So that we don't just live average relationships, but we live according to God's will. He wants to pour out his spirit in our relationships, our marriages, with our kids, relationship with our kids, with our coworkers, our neighbors, and that we're able to grow healthy relationships. Who here would like to have healthy relationships? Raise your hand. We all do. We all do. It doesn't matter how wealthy or how famous you are or how many things you have in life. If your relationships are bad, your life is miserable. You know what I'm talking about. If your relationships at home are miserable, aren't good, it's hard to go home. You don't want to go home. And that's why a lot of people avoid going home. A lot of times with our relationship with our kids, if it's bad, we don't even want to be around them. Now, my kids, they aren't like that. She's right, my daughter who's in the front row. It's her 15th birthday today. And so happy birthday. Now, I'm going to pay for saying that later, okay, because she hates that when I do that, but I'm a proud daddy. But you know, I know that healthy relationships will determine a lot of times your own peace and how you live your life. You know, and there's no other book in the whole world that can define or help us understand healthy relationships other than the Word of God. God's word helps define what health is and how to have a healthy relationships in our life. And I want to read something here from Philippians. Philippians, you can turn your Bible there or turn your notes there. Philippians 3:12. It's something that I really believe the Lord wants us to understand and how we move into healthy relationships. We have to do certain things so that we can inherit good relationships and then be able to build upon good relationships and grow 10 times in our relationships. So let's read this together out loud. Philippians 3:12-14. Ready? I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul is pointing out something very clear here. He's pointing out something. I cannot relate to the present if I'm reacting to my past. See, many of us, we want healthy relationships where we are today, but we're living and reacting to the life of our old or the past. Our hurts, our pains, disappointments, the frustrations, what mom and dad said to you growing up, what a teacher said, how much of a failure you are. And you keep those things and you react to this rather than embracing what the new relationship God has for your life. And so it's been holding you back for so long. It's baggage. And the Lord wants you to be able to deal with your baggage so you can inherit the promises he has for you. But you got to deal with the baggage. I'm saying, woo, this is a tough one. It is a little bit. But come on, we all got to have a tough teaching once in a while, right? We got to be able to say to ourselves, you know what? This is something of reality. I got to deal with this so I can inherit that. I want health in my life, so I'll deal with the junk. The junk in my trunk, okay? The stuff that would hold me back rather than embrace the future. So I want to look at a few things here that we carry in life, the emotional garbage. And I listed three things that I would like for us to understand that I have helped identify, maybe three bags of things that we've carried on in our lives. One is this. We rehearse our resentments. We rehearse our resentments. See, here's the thing in a lot of people's lives is that we want to rehearse what we resent. We resent mom and dad because of what they did to us, how they treated us, how they abused us, how they verbally filleted us in life. And we rehearse that over and over again in our lives, in our minds. How dare them? And then your anger starts to increase. Your resentment starts to increase. And so you rehearse this resentment in life. And what happens is it just keeps throwing you back into a downward spiral rather than lift you up. It just brings you down. We remember our regrets. That's another bag that we carry with us, a baggage that we have in our lives. We remember our regrets. Where we think, oh, I wish I would have. I wish I would have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And we regret and we keep going over and over in our minds the things that we regret. And we hold on to those things almost like they're a treasure in our lives, but we forget they're actually baggage that we're not supposed to carry. And the third thing is that we reinforce our remorse. And we think, oh, I can't believe I did this. And then we have a remorse for the things we have done. And we live in that remorse in our lives. And we drag our knuckles on the ground feeling bad for ourselves because of what used to be and how it used to be. And those are baggages that we carry with us. Those are things that we carry along with us that hold us back from inheriting what God has for us. Do you know that God wants you to have healthy relationships? He wants you to have healthy relationships with your spouse, with your kids, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your extended family. And I know that everybody in this room, you've had tension with somebody in your life. You've had conflict, struggles. And today the Lord wants to identify those things of what's been holding you back so that you can move in freedom. Who here wants freedom in your life today? I do. So I want to look at this, and I want to look at how do we get relief. You know, Apostle Paul says, I let go, in verse 12, of the past, and I hold on to the future. I let go of the past, and I hold on to the future. Let go of the past. Let me just say this word of encouragement to all of us, not just a few, but all. Let go of the past and hold on to the future of what the Lord has for you. Let go of the past. The past has been sabotaging your future. It's been sabotaging the promises that God has for you because we believe in the past more than we believe in the promises of God. And God says, no, no, no. My promises are true. They're true. They will not come up short, and they will not disappoint you. But we love to hold on to our past because we almost find our validation in our past. The reason I'm such an angry person today is because of my past. That's why I'm angry today. The reason why I'm so cynical in life is because of my past, of what has happened in my past. And it almost defines our personality and who we are. And the Lord says, let go of the past and embrace the future. Amen? So I want to look at how to do this. How do you get relief from these things, this baggage in life? Number one, I must give up my grudges. Ooh, I know this is a tough one. I don't want to talk about grudges, James. I don't either. But we're going to do it anyways. We're going to navigate this together because I believe as we do, God will bring freedom to our lives. Let's read what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let's read this out loud. Ready? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate towards one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Circle two words there in your teaching notes. Get rid. Just get rid. Get rid of, what is he saying get rid of in your life today? There are areas of our life, he's saying, circle that and get rid of it. Dispose of it. Chuck it. Throw it in the trash. Do not pick it up again. That's not for you to hold on to. This is a word of encouragement for many of us in this room, if not all of us. Because we have carried this for so long, it's almost become grafted into our lives and become who we are. And the Lord says, I didn't create you that way. I didn't create you that way. You take that off and throw it away. Dispose of it. See, many of us, we put on people expectations of what we want out of them. You know, a spouse. We want them to love us a certain way. Husband and wives, you know, I want our spouse to fulfill us physically in certain ways. And we put expectations on them. And when they don't do that, we start to hold a grudge against them. Ah, they don't fulfill me. That's why marriages end in divorce 60% of the time in America now. 60% of our marriages end in divorce because we put these expectations on people that aren't even achievable. And when they don't fulfill it, then we hold a grudge against them. Our kids, if they don't achieve this or do this, then we hold a grudge against them. If they don't respect us and love us a certain way, then we get hurt and offended. It's like, and you hold it against them. See, the Lord says, wait, hold on a second. Get a bigger picture of this. Don't put expectations on people. And when they fail you, hold a grudge against them. When they're not loving enough to you, you hold it against them. And then you're bitter towards them and you hold that grudge. See, the problem, it just doesn't work when we live our lives this way. It doesn't work. See, what happens is that you go home at night, you hold a grudge against somebody, you go to bed and your stomach starts to turn, starts to burn a little bit inside. You know, and then the first thing you do is you run to the cabinet and you grab the Tums, right? Oh, Tums will help me. Forget about Jesus. We just want Tums. Like, give me relief right now. But see, the other person you're having a grudge against went home and they're sleeping like a baby while you're stewing at night. See the difference? Grudges do not help you in any way. You got to let go of those grudges or it will take you down, and it will punish you because of what you're holding on to. You know, I remember this. I heard this very young, and it stuck with me in my life, is that no one can make you mad without your permission. See, you give permission to people to make you mad. If they make you mad because you gave them permission, you say this, "You make me so mad." Because what you're doing is you're saying is you control my emotions. You control my emotions. So what you're doing in my life, I allowed you to control me. See, we're not called to live that way. See, we're called to live where we love each other. Amen? Love each other as Christ has loved us. Let's read what Job chapter 5 verse 2 says. Let's read this out loud. "To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. It doesn't help. It only hurts you. It only hurts you." Church, can I encourage you today? Let go of the grudges that you might have in your life. Maybe there's somebody at work that got the job that you wanted, and you cut off that relationship because, you know what? I have a grudge against that person because I wanted that. And the Lord says, don't do that. You're going to live a life being miserable because you're always going to be disappointed. That is not God's plan for you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "I was so unloved growing up. My mom abused me. My dad abused me physically, verbally, emotionally. I was not treated well by my teachers." And you define yourself that way. And the Lord says, don't get caught up in that, because all you're doing is you're allowing a cancerous action to take place within your stomach, inside your life, and what it does, it just comes out. It comes out in everything you do. And what it does, it comes out into the new relationships you have with your husband or wife or your kids, and they don't deserve it. They just don't deserve that. Can I hear an amen on that? I know that's tough to hear. But I'm teaching what I have to hear all the time as well. They don't deserve that. What does Job 18:4 say? Let's say, read this out loud. "You are only hurting yourself with your anger." With your anger. This is something that we all need to understand. Well, the second thing that we need to understand to find relief is I must give up my grief. This is something that many of us today, that we just have to understand, because we all have dealt with grief in life. There are those in this room, you have lost somebody this year. You had maybe lost a marriage that was, I don't know, dissolved because of hurt and pains. Maybe you have a child that has turned their back on you and you lost that. But maybe you physically have lost a parent or a loved one. Last night, one of the services, a couple came up to me after service and said, thank you for talking about grief because we just lost our 24-year-old last month, a month ago. And we've been grieving the loss of our son. And I'm going to tell you this, the Lord understands that grief is natural, that we do mourn. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But there's a big difference between mourning and moaning. Does everybody know that? Have you ever seen people moan about themselves? It's like, oh, woe is me. I am so beaten up. I lost everything. I lost my job. I lost this. I lost that. And it's like, no one likes to be around a moaner. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Recently, I had the stomach flu, and I don't like the stomach flu. Can I confess here? And so when something happens to my stomach, it's like, off limits. So I literally have to let the whole neighborhood know that I have the stomach flu. Oh, woe is me. And my family, they look at me like, oh, my gosh, Dad, suck it up, Buttercup. It's not that bad. And I'm crying and yelling, oh, I don't like this. And I moan and moan and moan. See, that's the difference between moaning. Moaning is poor me. My life is over. I'll never be happy again. I've lost it all. See, this is what the Lord has for us today. Because I want to look at a scripture here about a man named David. David mourned the loss of his son. See, David had an affair with Bathsheba, and in that affair, they had a child. See, David had Bathsheba's husband sent off to war and killed. And he had this point where he had a son with Bathsheba, and his son got severely ill. And David went to the Lord and mourned and sought the Lord and said, Jesus, save my son. And this is what happened in 2 Samuel 12, verse 16 and 18. So David pleaded with God for the child he fasted. And he went into the house and he spent nights lying on the ground. But on the seventh day, the child died. See, there are times in life when we are able to go to the Lord and there's a point where death takes place or something of death in life takes place. But it didn't hold David back. He had a reality check. This has happened in my life. I lost my son. Do you think he grieved it? You bet he did. Did it break his heart? You bet it did. It's probably the most horrific thing that ever happened in his life. He lost his son. He lost his son. But David did a few things to make it through grief. And I want to look at that because some of you here today, you're walking through a time of grief right now. There's a point in your life when you're facing this and you're struggling through this grief. And the Lord wants to bring this to the forefront so that you can move beyond your grief into wholeness and who God has for you to be. Here's how David dealt with his grief. All right, the first thing we need to do to get through grief is that we have to accept what cannot be changed. We got to accept what cannot be changed. There are things in your past that cannot be changed. The loss of a mom or a dad, a brother, a sister, or a child. There are things in your marriage that have died that you had to go through, and there is no more with that marriage. I mean, it's the spouse is gone. You never have seen that person again. There are things that you cannot change, and you have to understand that. You look at 2 Samuel 12, 22, it says this, then David got up from the ground. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back to life? But sometimes we try to invest so much in our past to bring it back to life into our present. And God says, you can't do that. It's done. See, one day you will die. That's 100% rate. Okay, you will all die. Raise your hand if you're going to die someday, all right? All right, look around the room. We're all going to be dead someday, all right? All of us. So understand that. That is the way life is. And when it happens, we have to grieve and mourn our loss, but we have to continue to move forward as David did. David moved forward. Let's look what else he did. He also played it down, but he prayed it up. Prayed it up. In your time of grief, my encouragement to you is that you would not be defined by your grief, but you would turn that focus and place it right up on Jesus. Jesus, I'm going to trust you. You know what it says that David did? I love this. David, as he prayed it up, he went into, it says here in 2 Samuel 12:20, says after he washed, put on his oil volé, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord, and what did he do? He worshiped. He worshiped. Let me encourage you. Many of you today, you're dealing with brokenness and hurts and pains of your past. And you come to church, and this is an environment of healing. An ointment that would be spread on your life today to bring healing. It's almost as you've been burnt in life by a relationship. And the Lord says, come to me and worship, and I will bring healing. Some of you have loss in your life, and the Lord says, just come to me and worship, and I'll bring healing and restoration in your life. But a lot of times what we do is we come into worship, and we sit, and we miss the opportunity to worship Jesus and take the focus off of our past and our loss and put it on Jesus. And what we do is we stand and we watch, and we say, I'm going to forget it because I'm mad right now. And I would rather focus on my anger and my loss than the goodness of God. So I'm encouraging you as you come in and worship, worship the Lord and allow Him to do something special in your life. This weekend, last night, I came in here and I wasn't feeling the greatest. I was really weak and tired just from being sick. And I came in here and I stood there and I said, Lord, I'm just going to worship you. I'm done with this. I'm done with this sickness thing. I'm just going to worship you. And Lord, as I do, I'm just going to pray that you would fill me with your spirit. And wham, he gave me everything I needed. See, as when Pastor Wayne and myself, we come up and preach, it's not always easy. We give 100% up here. And it's not easy just to wing it. You can't do that. And I said, Lord, I need your strength right now. And I just worshiped and I worshiped and I worshiped. And I felt God's presence come on me and say, James, I am with you. Some of you need to hear that because some of you right now are feeling tired. You're tired in life. You're frustrated. You're fatigued. And as we worship, lift your hands to Jesus and say, Jesus, I trust in you. You're my hope. You're my strength. I trust in you. And he will give you what you need. Amen. The last thing that David did here is that he focused on what's left, not what's lost. I'd like to read what he says here in 2 Samuel 12:24. It says, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. Then he had a new son that God raised up to be the next king of Israel, the wisest man to ever walk the earth. God has a plan for your life. As you would seek Him and you would disregard and leave those hurts and those pains and the grief and the grudges of your past behind, and you move into the promises of what God has for you, He has a promise. A promise. I don't know what your promise is, but it was Solomon for David. God has a promise for you that He wants to fulfill, but He can't fulfill it if you keep holding on to your past. Amen. He can't bless your marriage if you hold on to your past. He can't bless your relationship with your kids if you hold on to your past. He can't bless your relationships with one another if you keep holding on to your past. He can't do it because you keep making that your focus rather than God. God wants to bless you in such an amazing way, but you got to let go of your past. Amen? Let's look at the third thing here, and let's finish up with this. I must give up my guilt, my guilt. Many of you here today, you've made mistakes in your life. And you've actually put yourself in the penalty box of life, disqualifying yourself for anything good. I will never have because of what I have done. I will never be able to get because of what I have done. Let me just be very clear with you. What the Lord has done for you, He died on the cross for you to set you free from that guilt, that shame, and the wrongs that you have done in your life once and for all. You don't have to live with shame or guilt any longer at all. He's released you of that so that you can enter new relationships without guilt. You don't have to think about your past and say, oh, I've messed up. No, you can move into your new future and relationships saying, you know what? God has given me a fresh start. Today is a day of new beginnings. I have met with many 13-year-old girls who have come to me in my office, sitting down with me and saying, Pastor, I gave my life up to this young guy who took advantage of me. I gave myself to him, and now I can't get it back. I now am like the penalty box of life, and I never can be pure again. And I said, no. That's not how God works. So you might have made a mistake once, but God went to the cross for you so that he can redeem your life. Can I hear an amen on that? And some of you need to hear that today. Because we would rather focus on that than truly understand the grace of God that he has forgiven us and set us free. You don't have to live in the penalty box of life. That's not where you belong. You belong in the promises of God. I look at two people in the Word of God, and I look at two guys who made a big mistake, Judas and Peter. Remember on the night of the trial, Jesus is being persecuted, and he's being on trial, beaten, and Judas and Peter deny they even knew Jesus. Remember that? What do? I mean, come on, think about this. They hung out with Jesus 3.5 years. King of kings, Lord of lords, God of the universe, the creator of all. They hung out with this guy, Jesus. And at his toughest moment, they denied him. Peter 3 times. Well, let's look at how they dealt with this shame and guilt. Let's look at first Judas. It says this, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. Then he went out and hanged himself. See, this was very important because that's how Judas responded. And I'm going to be honest with all of us here today. Many of you have been hanging yourself with your guilt. But James, you don't understand what I've done. It's okay what you've done if you come to Jesus. And you've been stringing yourself up, hanging yourself with the guilt of life. And you've been held back by this. It's almost as if all the stuff that you feel guilty for is one big ball and it's wrapped around your ankle and you're just dragging this thing everywhere you go. And you're never able to go forward to what God has because you've been holding on to this. And God says, I severed that at the cross. I set you free. Now move on. Don't feel guilty for that. I have redeemed your life. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. That's powerful. But then you got Peter. I love Peter. This is what about Peter? What did he do? Peter says, and Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, and he went outside and wept bitterly. I love Peter's heart because he repented right away. Oh, God, forgive me. And he wept bitterly. All you have to do is repent. The Bible says very clearly, he'll forgive you. You just got to ask. You don't have to live any longer with the garbage of your past. Can I just speak that over your life right now? Be released of it. As you come to Christ, just ask for forgiveness and be released from the hurts, the pains, the frustrations, the disappointments, and be released of it and move into the promises of God. That's God's promise for you. I know that God forgave Peter. I know he did. You know why? Because at that point, 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, God raised up Peter in front of multitudes of people, and 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus through the teachings of Peter. That's pretty cool. Do you think if Peter would have stayed in that remorse and that shame and that guilt that God would have used him? No. God couldn't have used him. But since he came to God and said, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry, my past. Now I let it go. I run forward to the things that are ahead of me, as Paul says, to the future. Not being held back by the things of my past. Your relationships are determined by how much you let go of your past and run towards the future. See, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read this out loud. Love keeps no record of wrong. Hear me when I say that. God does not keep records of what you did. He doesn't keep a record saying, oh, but James, okay, you're doing good today, but I remember when you did this, you did that, and you did that. I got it on the list because I just want you to remember. I remember that. That's not how God works. He wipes it clean. You move forward, and he wipes it clean. See, we keep track in our minds. I've done. God says, I don't operate that way. He keeps no records of wrong. So in your relationships today, don't keep records of wrong. If God is forgiving, then we should be forgiving. Amen. If God is loving, then we should be loving. Amen. If God extends grace, then we should extend grace. If you want to have healthy relationships, 10 times greater than you've ever experienced before, you got to let go of your past and embrace the future. Amen.